You may have a couple people help me with the communion. People are curious creatures. They'll get into a habit and they'll be diligent for a while, and then they'll slip, and then pretty soon they'll just kind of take the easiest route they can possibly take, the path of less resistance. And communion is one of those things that has happened to a lot of the church world. It's gotten so watered over and so far away from what God wanted us to do, till it's not even recognizable. How many of you, I know a lot of you, have went to churches and taken communion where they gave you a little rice wafer? That little plastic thing that sticks to the roof of your mouth? And it takes you till noon to get it out of your teeth? See, one of the things that Paul told us, he said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. To discern the body of Christ, you're going to have to look at that bread. It's important to follow directions. Did you know that? It's very important to follow directions. God told us exactly how to make this bread. He called it matzah bread. That's what it's called, matzah bread. And it's a whole sheet of bread. And this bread is made without yeast. Absolutely everything in the Bible has significance. Yeast is significant of sin. So when we're looking at the body of Christ, it's important for us to understand that He is and always was completely sinless. I read this morning. Somebody told somebody on Facebook that Jesus broke a lot of laws so that He could help people. Jesus never broke one single law. Ever, not once. He never sinned one time. This bread, this body of Christ, is made without yeast, sinless and pure. And if you look at this bread, it's been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And if you look, there's stripes in this bread. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. Jesus got scourged and they whipped His back, and that was for our healing. And if you look, this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And every time He shed blood, that blood paid for redemption for us in some area. Also, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. Jesus paid the price for our sins. And God treated Him the way we deserve to be treated so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being. And we thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus for this sacrifice. The blood of Jesus is so powerful and so perfect. And since there was no sin in that blood is still alive and it's still doing what God sent it to do. That blood is continually washing us from all sins, and that blood continually protects us And it seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we are justified. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We can walk right into His presence as if nothing ever happened. Because of the blood of Jesus, nothing did. That's why we can have confidence that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 10, verse 10. And I don't know if you've noticed that we live in a troubled world today. That there's a lot of things going on. And Jesus told the disciples, said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be famines and pestilences. These things will come before the end. Also, he said that the blood, that the moon would be turned to blood. There would be pillars of smoke. We've seen pillars of smoke. We've seen earthquakes. We've seen famines. We've seen pestilences. Plagues. There's been plagues on this earth. There's a lot of things that have been happening. Unfortunately, a lot of church people are sitting around saying that's God's judgment on this earth. And then a whole bunch of church people get scared. When are we next? It really irritated me when there was great fires in California and the place was just burning, and there was church people saying that's God's judgment on California. I said, well, buddy, you better buckle up because Texas is next. He said, what do you mean? I said, what has California got that we don't have? They can't answer that, truthfully. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The very first thing that you need to do when you're running into trouble is locate yourself. And how do you do that? Well, who are you focusing the blame on? See, a lot of times people, when something happens, they'll say, God did this to me to teach me a lesson. That's so far from the truth and so far from the gospel that you just as well have picked it up from the book of Satan, because that's where it came from. Jesus came that you could have life and that you could have it more abundantly. Period. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's from Satan. Now, people have this extraordinary habit of jumping up in the air and grabbing the curse and pulling it down around their ears. And then they'll blame either God or Satan, regardless. But, you know, it's the choices that we make a lot of times. We have a habit of tearing down our heads of protection. See, that's what got Job in trouble. Job had a hedge of protection. The devil couldn't even touch him. And the devil had evidently got tired of walking around that fence. And God had to remind him, said, look, there's a hole. He wouldn't have even walked down there if he didn't know, if God hadn't showed him, said, look, he tore his hedge down. People do that all the time. They do it with the words of their mouth. They do it with their habits. They do it with just different things that they may encounter and do. Now, we know that it's not God punishing us when we get sick or we get hurt or we get financially distraught. We have to understand that our actions, that some are our choices in life, sometimes we open up. You know, the Bible tells us to give no place to the devil. So if the Bible tells us not to give place to the devil, evidently we can give place to the devil. You know, you really can open portals to the dark side with the words of your mouth, with your habits, with different things that you may do. You actually unwittingly invite the devil into your life. That's why it's so important to watch the words of our mouth. Keep our tongue. You know, it's interesting. We have two rows of teeth and two rows of lips to seal that tongue in. And you're going to say something. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but you talk a lot. And everybody talks to themselves. Well, okay, you're halfway there to where God told you to be, because he told you to meditate on the word day and night. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may do accordingly to all that is written therein, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So we find that the power of the tongue has a lot to do with our life. And even Jesus said, whatsoever you shall say. Wow. Well, the devil knows that too. And he knows that if he can get you to say the wrong thing, he'll get you to believing the wrong thing. That's why we need to pay strict attention to what we're hearing. And we need to pay strict attention to what we're saying. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is Jesus talking. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Literally, take no thought. How do we do this? You know, we get bombarded with thoughts. You know, those, they call them fiery darts in the devil, and in the Bible. And the Bible calls these fiery darts high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So you'll be listening to the news, and they'll be talking about a nuclear war, and you'll be trying to figure out how you can dig a deep enough hole and gather up enough beans and rice to get through this nuclear holocaust. What have you done? You've taken thought. You have taken thought for tomorrow. Jesus actually said, here's exactly how you take thought. He told one of his disciples, why do you take thought saying? There's your mouth again. You got hit with a dart of worry, and then you started talking about it. You started talking about it. Now, here's one thing I've learned about this fine-tuned thinking machine that we're attached to, is you're not going to beat a thought with a thought. You have to beat a thought with the Word of God. See, when you start getting those thoughts, see, we always try this. We always think, oh, we're not going to think negative. We're going to think positive. And you're not going to think positive unless you start talking positive. So those thoughts hit you, and they will hit you. They'll hit you every day. But the way to beat those thoughts down is take them captive to the name of Jesus and start saying what the Word of God says about that situation. You know, the devil has absolutely no access to your spirit. When you got born again, your spirit got clean 100%, but he does have access to your soul. He can throw thoughts your way. He knows that if he can get you a little bit afraid, then he can get you a little more afraid, then he can get you into doubt, and then he can get you into full-blown unbelief. And then he's got you. But it's important for you to stay under the shadow of the Almighty and abide in Christ. That means you're going to take His Word and you're going to look at His Word and you're going to feed on His Word and you can say His Word out of your mouth so that your ears can hear it. Remember we say to get born again, believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth and you say it out loud so that your ears can hear it? Everything else is the same way. You need healing in your body. It's not going to come by a positive thinking regimen. It's going to come by you believing in your heart. Remember, meditate on the Word day and night. Find healing scriptures in the Bible. Find out where it says, by His stripes you were healed. And then you're going to get that in your heart. You're going to believe it in your heart. And then you're going to confess it with your mouth, out of your mouth, so that your ears can hear it. And then you're going to hear it, and it's going to go back in your heart, and you're going to say it again. What are you doing? You're meditating on the Word of God. Now, why is meditation so important? You're not going to change God. You're not going to get one of His promises and run around confessing this promise long enough till you change God and He does something for you. No, the Word of God isn't going to change God. God is the Word. And you're not going to change the Word. What happens when you meditate on the Word of God is that Word changes you. The Bible tells us that He sent His Word and it healed us. So we meditate on that. And we get it strong in our heart and we confess it with our mouth and we hear ourselves saying that over and over and over again. Did you know that your soul, your fine-tuned thinking machine, can be easily manipulated? Very easily manipulated. This is why it's so important to feed on the Word of God so that your spirit is strong, so that your spirit can have ascendancy over your soul. You have to take control of that thing with your spirit. If you just turn that thing loose, you don't know where you're going to end up at. People, when I first started in Christianity, was first kind of getting going, I worked in this place, and I figured out, people could be manipulated really easy. And I really didn't know I wasn't supposed to be doing this, but I come walking in, and the day, at that time, West Nile was the rage. That was the devil's new pandemic, and he's going to take out the world with West Nile. And people were buying it hook, line, and sinker from, preachers, everybody were buying into this West Nile thing. So one day I come walking into the office and this lady was kind of bending her elbow, kind of funny, and I said, "What's wrong?" I thought she bumped it. She said, "It's kind of stiff." And I said, "Oh my God, I hope it's not West Nile." My boss came up to me and said, "Would you quit doing that? Every time you do something like that to her, she goes running to the doctor and our insurance goes up." I said, "Oh, okay." You see why it's so important to get control of this. And the only way to get control of this is by having this strong. Having your spirit man strong so you can control your mind, will, and your emotions. That's why Jesus said, take no thought. He knows people have a habit of listening to information and coming up with their own conclusion. And unfortunately, see, here's the thing about a person. Before you get born again, the only way God can deal with you is through your five natural senses. And that's how a lot of the world comes up with their conclusions. It's through their five natural senses. What they can see, touch, smell, hear, taste. And that's what they've got to deal with. That's how they deal with the natural world. So these doctors come up with these diagnoses. They say, well, every time we've seen a wart on somebody's left toe and their eye went to twitching like that, they only had 3 weeks left. So you better go dig a hole and get ready. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, with a long life will He satisfy you and show you His salvation. He said, by His stripes you were healed. So we have to concentrate on what kind of information we allow to come into our mind. Jesus said to take no thought. God does not want us to worry about whatever happens in the world. Did you know that? No matter who's in office, no matter what kind of wars are going on, no matter what kind of rumors are going on, no matter what you see in the stars, no matter what happens to the moon, He does not want you to be worried about it. That doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to that. See, astronomy is an important thing. It's an important tool that we can watch. You know, we need to pay attention to the signs of the times. Don't delve over into astrology, but astronomy is an important thing to know about. We have some astronomers in this town. Christian astronomers. See, it's important to pay attention to the things around you and see what's going on, you know, and watch positive news sites that are telling the truth. So, you know, you kind of have an idea of what's happening around you. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Look at John chapter 17, verse 16. Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Wow. We're in this world. We're on this world. We're not of this world. We belong to a completely different kingdom. We don't need to be affected by whatever is causing the world to be afraid. This is important for Christians to understand. Because the devil ramps up a whole new attack every year. Have you noticed, ever since I was a little kid, there's been some new attack on this world every year. This is the end of civilization as we know it. I remember there was acid rain. The frogs were going to go away. there was glaciers, we're going to go into an ice age. We're going to run out of oil in 10 years. They had sleeping sickness came along. And I was young then, and I thought, my gosh, so maybe if a bug bites me, I might have a problem staying awake. I didn't know, but they had sleeping sickness. That was, and then they had all kinds. They had bird flu, they had pigeon flu, they had West Nile. And now they got COVID, and they got a new strain of COVID. Then they got a new strain of COVID. Then they got a new strain of COVID. And here's the thing: when God was laying out the blessings in Deuteronomy and the curses, He said every disease that is not even named is part of the curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. That means it doesn't matter how many new diseases that the devil comes up with, and it doesn't matter how long and tricky and impossible the name is, He's redeemed us from that. You don't have to get all crazy and worried because something new happens. Doctors drive me absolutely crazy because they have this habit of slamming the door shut like they slam the gavel down. So you've got this kind of disease, you got 3 months to live. I wish they would just shut up. I really do. I wish they would just shut up. Because they are not God. I've seen people live that they sent home to die. But people will believe numbers. I've seen people take that number that the doctor gave and said, I got 3 months. And you can't talk them out of that. They will do pretty good. And it's like within a week of their 3 month doomsday mark that the doctor gave them, they'll go downhill so fast you can't even, and they'll make it to their 3 month mark. Watch what you let in here. You don't have to believe everything that you hear. And you don't have to receive it. So why are we not to be affected by whatever's causing the world to be afraid of? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I just can't even express to you how absolutely important this verse is. How important it is to meditate on this and get it in your heart and know it. Verse 21 says, for He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus knew no sin. On the cross, He took all of our sin. Not only that, He took all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases. He took our griefs and our pains and our sorrows. He took it all on Him. And washed us with His blood and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness means exactly this. You are in right standing with God. That means whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now you can stand in His presence as if nothing ever happened. Now you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. absolutely everything that happened got washed away. You got made a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature has no past. And from that day forward, you live according to 1 John 1:7, which tells us that the blood of Jesus continually washes us from all sin. Now, we can understand why we can take no thought. Why we do not have to be afraid of tomorrow. Why we don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Why we can look forward tomorrow with excitement. Because it's going to go well for us. Regardless of what the world goes through, regardless of what happens in D.C., regardless of what happens anywhere around the world, you're going to be okay. Well, what happens if I get taken out by a bomb? You're in the presence of Jesus immediately. How bad could that be? Whether you live under Christ or die under Christ, it's going to be great. You got it going on. But you let the cares of the world destroy your peace. That word peace is an important word. Because a lot of people are looking for peace. They don't know what it is, but they want it. You know, we're used to seeing out. Remember the old hippies used to sit around saying, "Peace, brother?" That's not the kind of peace we're looking for. We're looking for shalom. That word, and Jesus coined that word shalom. He meant the God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life, that too much life. You know, where you got too much of everything, you got to give it away. By the way, we got too much eggs back here. Take some home. That's what Jesus came here, what he said in John 10:10. He said, "I've come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly." Literally, too much of everything. So you got to give it away. He doesn't want you to have just enough to pay your bills. Have a few beans and a burger. That's not what he wants for you. He wants you to have the best food. He wants you to have the best health. He wants you to have the best care. He wants you to have the best of everything. And he wants you to have too much of it so you can give some of it to your neighbor. Why would they be so interested? Because your neighbor, who's been living like an idiot, is watching you. Did you know that? Because they wonder how you could be so happy and not be on heroin. I had a guy tell me that one time. I seen him watching me, and he wouldn't come over to my barn. And he said, I watched you for 3 weeks. I couldn't figure out how you were so happy all the time. I knew you had to be on heroin. No. You know, that guy got baptized in water not long after that. His bed, he slept on blocks of cocaine. That was his bed. And he snorted so much cocaine that when we went to baptize him, we had to have two people hold him. He had to hold his ears plugged and his nose because water would just go straight through his nose, through his ears. Well, we got all the holes plugged up and we got him dunked. And it was a good day. But see, he wanted to know what made me tick. And it was just Jesus. You know, your neighbor's watching you, wondering why. And then when you go there and do something nice for them, then they really wonder why. And then you go do something nice for the ones that you know are really being rat things to you. And that just adds coals to their head. But then pretty soon, they're going to have to know what the answer is. They may not come ask you, but they may go ask somebody else, and that'll open the door for them to receive the gospel of salvation. It's important for you to receive the full gospel of Jesus Christ into your life so you can receive that abundance of life that Jesus paid for you to have. John 10:10 is a big, big verse. It's bigger than we can even imagine. He pointed out who was to blame for the big problems. The devil. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying in any way, it's coming from him. God wants us to have the abundant life. He wants us to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that produces fruit in a drought, that produces too much fruit, and just keeps on producing. It grows over the neighbor's fence so they can have some fruit. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And in the way of righteousness is life. And in its pathway is no death. You know, the patriarchs of the Old Testament, they didn't suffer during famines that occurred in their lifetimes. In fact, some of them prospered beyond belief. Some of them reproduced. You know, the Egyptians looked at the children of Israel and they said, these guys, these women, they have babies easy. They don't even have, they don't even have pain. They just have babies easy. Do you know that's a, you can, pain at childbirth came from the curse. You know, this guy I worked for asked me to pray for his wife. And I said, well, I can do that. And he said, no, I want you to go to the hospital when she's going to have that baby. I'm going to be hauling cows. I said, well, that's just not going to. No, that's not going to happen. But I'll pray for her. So we prayed for her. And anyway, it got time for the baby to happen. And I said, well, how'd it go? How long did it take? And he said, about 5 minutes. The doctor didn't even have time to get his gloves on. He said, she got on the table and she... I said, well, now we got to bless him. So we just got to the Bible, read what the Bible said over that kid, and he never got sick for the first 2.5 years of his life. Never got colicky. Nothing. And I remember I was there the first time he sneezed or coughed. He's like 3 years old, something like that. And it scared him because he's never had anything like that happen to him before. He'd never been sick. You read the Word of God over your kids. Bless them. You know something about babies? They don't argue with you. When they're little babies like that, they don't argue with you. They just receive. And that their spirits are so pure, they receive that Word of God. And it just multiplies in them really, really fast, really, really strong. Let's just use the Word of God on our problems, on our challenges. Pay attention to what we're hearing. Pay attention to what we're saying. And follow the directions. We're going to stop there. We'll look at what the patriarchs did next Sunday. Because it'll be important to see these different things, but it'll be a good thing. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you that you wrote it down for us to follow. It'll show us how to live. Not only that, but it'll change us from the inside out. It'll change our very environment. It'll change our circumstances, and it will change our reality. So, Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for everything that our high priest Jesus does at the right hand of God, praying for us, making intercession for us, causing us to be at the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.